is feminism and how does it influence our lives?
We ask questions that range from the private to the political and all the muddy waters in between.
From shallow chit-chat all the way to the really deep shit.
So hold on to your drinks, sit back, relax, and dive in with
Feminism by the Pool.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here and for filling the house again.
Yes, second time full house. This is great.
This is great.
My name is Leia.
My name's Jane.
Yes. And this is the third episode of this format, which is, I would say, a video podcast discourse over sharing performance art piece. The first one we did a while ago, which was about feminism and how it influences our personal lives. And the second episode just happened 1 hour earlier about this book.
This wonderful book, Im Spiegelsaal, in the Hall of Mirrors by Liv Strömquist, in whose exhibition you are currently sitting.
Yes.
This is the second time we're doing it with guests.
Yep.
In one day.
Welcome. Please give yourselves a round of applause for being here.
Great that you're here. Well done, you. So we are currently here at the Liv Strömquist exhibition. Who doesn't quite know who Liv Strömquist is? Give you a Then let me tell you where you are right
Why
now.
Why are you here?
Why are you literally? Because of us? No.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so flattering.
My God.
Okay.
Okay, yes. So Liv Strömquist.
Give us a bit of
background info.
Yeah, a bit of background info.
Because we will be talking mainly about this book. Liv Strömquist is a Swedish lady who is a studied... all my notes are in German. She studied political science. She was a radio moderator, but she's, of course, most well-known for being an excellent graphic novelist. Maybe you could not have a phone call while we're here.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Technical problems.
I know the feeling. She's most well known for being a graphic novel artist, as you can see in this exhibition. She's published 5 books, and the last one.
The last one is astrology. This is the one before, right?
This is the 5th one, exactly. And it's 5 essays with different topics. One is about girls in the Hall of Mirrors, which is all about Instagram and Kylie Jenner and how we want to be her, but we kind of don't want to be her, but we still want to be her. Chapter number 2 is about fuckability and can you only find true love if you look good? It's called Leia's Ugly Eyes.
Which is funny because that's also my name.
Yeah, but not her eyes. The 3rd chapter is about photography and, well, geisterhafte Spuren in German.
Yeah, it's Marilyn Monroe is there and how, like, now that we all do all these selfies, we have this kind of voyeuristic relationship to ourselves.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, we've become our own photographers, so we're kind of...
like constantly judging ourselves through photography.
It's terrible. And the 4th chapter with which we're going to jump right in here is Snow White's mom.
And what I really like about that is...
But not the dead one.
No, not the dead one. It's the one, the queen, who's looking in the mirror and saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, right? So you're all like, what? That's not her mom. That's her stepmom. And I'm like, no, it's her mom. She explains this in the book because we have this like very warped image of motherhood that mothers always have to be good and love their children and cannot have any bad sides. And
like they must never want a hunter to kill their daughter.
Where of course they do. Because it's like the most normal thing in the world.
Let's be honest. It's like, you're a mom. You want your son to be killed by a hunter.
Constantly.
Right? Yeah. So.
No, but the thing is that, like, in fairy tales, they use, like, the stepmom to kind of portray all the dark sides of motherhood, which I think is very interesting. Anyway, so that chapter is about aging, right?
Yes, and in it she has interviewed multiple women over 50 and portrayed them all as, like, evil queens from Disney films. So you don't know what they actually look like, but they're all over 50 and they're all talking about what it's like to age and to become older and what does that do with your perception of your own beauty. And I think this is a beautiful chapter because you've got all these different opinions of these women. So it goes from one woman who says, I used my beauty to feel like I belong in a place. Like I felt I can only say something because I'm so beautiful. Like I can only be intellectually active in this round of super intellectuals because I'm already justified to be here by my beauty.
And now beauty is like a ticket to get into the party. And then once you're in, you can start talking.
Yeah. Then suddenly you whip out the brain. And everyone's like, what? And now that she's getting older, she feels like she's losing that sense of security and belonging. And now, like, she has to justify, why am I here? Even though she was obviously a very intellectual woman. So that's very sad. And then there are some positive examples where some women said they felt trapped by being young and possibly quite beautiful, the way one of them talks about
it. Or, like, getting a lot of, like, attention as, like, being sexy or, like, having a male gaze, like,
constantly feeling that this is, by the way, our male gaze for the night. This is the eye of the patriarchy hangs inflated above us over La Meta.
Maybe if someone doesn't know the word male gaze, it's like this feeling that you're actually constantly being judged and you always have to kind of look a certain way. And that is like a way that for women or people who are read as women to be like fuckable, basically, right?
Yeah, because and it's a male gaze, like a masculine gaze, because the patriarchy is mainly masculine. And so we feel like we constantly have to perform for this imaginary patriarchy, which is like all around us, judging
us. Even if there's no man actually looking at us, it's still here.
Yeah, we're always performing for the patriarchy. Hi, patriarchy. There it is. At the camera, by the way, Johnny, thank you so much for being here. You're not the patriarchy, Johnny. You're not. He's like the opposite. He's lovely.
No, but what these women said, so this is the opposite example. So what these women said is they, as long as they were young and beautiful, quote unquote, is that they constantly felt trapped. And then once that kind of beauty went away, suddenly they were free, right? Yeah. To do whatever the hell they wanted to do.
In a good way and in a bad way, because there, most women do say that after a certain age, you feel like you become invisible. Like people don't pay that much attention to you. And my mom said that too, actually, you know, that it's, you can feel a difference. Like you're just not interesting for salespeople on the street, for, you know, for marketing. Like you just, you are not a thing anymore because you've done your duty and now you can die. So no, in a way it's sad.
And before that, you can do all the fun stuff.
Like in the eyes of the patriarchy, you're of no use anymore. But that's when you are free, actually, to not give a fuck anymore. I'm just saying what the lady said, I swear. And she's having a great time. She's like, she wishes she felt this way, like she feels now over 50 and is just so happy. So lots of different ways of tackling aging. Leah, how are you tackling aging? Because this is also a very private talk that we just invite you to.
So I'm not over 50 yet.
No.
But, or am I? no, but I feel like I have gone through quite a few different stages of aging already. Like there was pre-puberty, where I really, really wanted to finally grow breasts because I wanted breasts because I felt like my life will be better with breasts, which it was actually. So that was fun. And then there was this whole tweens of like going to parties and getting free drinks and stuff like that. And also kind of being caught, like as soon as there was no male attention, kind of noticing my self-esteem dropping, feeling really guilty about that. Because of course, I'm not supposed to have self-esteem just because a guy thinks I'm pretty. That's not the right way to be a feminist, obviously.
We're all very bad feminists over here.
Very bad feminists.
Very bad.
Especially when I was pretty. or like in a very classical, like innocent sense.
It's hard to be feminist under 30, I think.
And then when I became pregnant, I said this in the last episode, when I became pregnant, this male gaze immediately disappeared. Like tuck. Boom, it was like suddenly putting on the ring from Lord of the Rings, right? Just immediate invisibility towards the male gaze. Like this could also be the Eye of Sauron, right? And it fits very well.
Yeah. Always the Eye of Sauron, just one big male gaze on a hill.
Like has anyone ever done a feminist interpretation of Lord of the Rings?
No, it's about time.
So yes, then I did miss it. I did miss that attention. And in fact, through motherhood and through all that, like work that was involved around it, I kind of lost my sensor for the male gaze. So it's not something I even notice anymore. Like I used to always know who thinks I'm pretty and now I don't notice.
Is that a good feeling or is it?
Not sure. It's both. Like, sometimes I miss it, but I feel like I'm also freer to just be something else than, yeah.
Subject of the male gaze.
Yeah. So yeah. It has both. Yeah.
Cool.
That would be me. Yeah. How about you?
But how do you look into the future, like now? Getting older. Does it scare you?
I do feel like I will gain more and more like actual power as I'm older. Mm. Like just like intellectual power and social power. Mm. And maybe also like money power. I'm not sure about that one.
Well, we're hoping. Leave tips at the exit. Okay, so you're planning on doing the good old like a male aging, just going for
power. No, I'm just planning on becoming a matriarch, kind of.
A matriarch. I love that. That's good.
Well, how about you? What's your aging story, Jane?
My aging story is can I get a quick if someone did not enjoy being a teenager? Very strong Radiohead vibes over there. got some. Okay, yeah, I didn't really like becoming a female red person. I did not find that fun. I didn't like getting boobs. I actually taped them down for quite a long time, especially when I went out. I was a goth, and of course their like gender is very kind of fluid, and that made me feel very, very comfortable because like everyone's weird anyway, so you just kind of fit in there and don't have to talk to anyone. I was very happy. Best 3 years of my life.
But that, why didn't you just stay a goth? It sounds so good.
It was very good, but it's just another category, and I did feel trapped by that as a category. Mm. Also just the makeup. I didn't like scaring kids. It's just the only option I had. It's like, okay, compete with all the blonde girls in your class who can actually shave or just become a goth. That was my choice. And I was just like, you know what? This is, no. Let them do the woman thing. I'll just go over here and figure things out for a while. So I bought myself a bit of time. And then in my mid-20s, things got a bit easier. I kind of, you know, wasn't a goth anymore. I started kind of making amends with my body. Mm. Being female, okay. And because I was having a lot of fun with it, it was letting me do a lot of things. I was dancing, making music. I was on stage with you. That was all like, that was a whole new kind of discovery of in one's body. Did you heal me? Yes. Yes, she healed me.
I helped you overcome your body dysphoria.
Not directly.
Indirectly.
Indirectly.
I'll take it.
But I'm glad I didn't know about the boob power you had back in the... I've been very jealous about that positive way of, that's great. I mean, it's fantastic. And now in my 30s, I feel like this is my age.
Yeah.
You're
in your prime.
I feel like I'm very much in my prime, but also that things could get better. Not in terms of knees or like, you know, organs, but in terms of like just being more self-confident.
And how do you see yourself in the future? Like, what is your vision of yourself?
Pretty old. I think I'm
70. What's your vision of yourself at 70?
Like, I don't know, Uma Thurman. I'm just aiming for, I'm going to wear very nice suits. I'm going to have red lipstick every day and wear very nice suits. I think I'm going to go that direction.
So also like power dress.
I'm going to power dress. I'm going to be I'm going to have that, the hair with, you know, the ladies with the hair that goes back. I want to look like I could give you a job.
Well, yeah.
So, even if you're a man and my age, that's my power.
Okay. So also like very much like becoming very powerful.
Very powerful.
Yeah. Okay.
Because so, I'm not going to get any
So maybe we'll just...
But okay. There was one queen which... Do we even have time?
Yeah.
So there's one queen which I really felt caught by this one queen here. It's the Ice Queen. And in Liv Sonkru's book, she really knows how to find things that hurt, because I felt very caught red-handed by this lady over 50 saying... It makes me so angry when middle-class feminists are angry about women who have their boobs done or their lips done or something, because these could be women who have no other resources except that they might be beautiful. And of course, they're using those resources as good as they can. I would fight, and she uses the word prügeln, which is literally have a fist fight in a bar for my right to have beauty operations. And these self-righteous moralists can kiss my ass.
Like us.
Like me, especially. I don't know how you stand to beauty operations.
I definitely feel judgy about them.
You feel judgy? Yeah, me too. It's tricky. But yeah, I'm also coming into age where more and more of my friends actually have done certain amounts of
really?
Botox. Yeah. And so now it's like, okay, you know, now let's just go there. And she ends by a beautiful woman can, no matter what her social status, get somewhere. Like beauty is a door opener for them. So in a way, beauty has something democratic. And I was like, okay, she got me at democracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So judgy me.
Okay.
Be less judgy in the future.
So Jane, I think now, because you must be punished for your judgmentalism, And you must reveal in this room to all of these people here your secret desire of having your own operation. So what, if you had to, what would be the thing that you would operate on your body?
I feel like at a certain age, I will want to have this chin tuck, you know, because you've got, I don't have much, but I've got a profile and I want to keep that profile.
Okay.
So I'm not adding something, I'm not taking away something, I'm just restoring something to its original state. So in a way it's recycling, it's upcycling, it's... And I don't know if I'm going to do it, but if I had to pick one, I feel like that's the one I could go like, yeah. How about you?
Yeah, same.
Same.
Yes, I would also do I would get rid of my double chin.
Yeah.
I admit it. I this is really just for you because I'm very much about body positivity and I make like a big deal out of loving my body the way it is and like making a big deal out of like not being this thin and like being very much loving myself with it. No, it's true.
You know what I just realized? What? I've been sucking in my stomach the whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I haven't.
If you just relax, unclench everybody. In case you're clenching, just unclench.
I love my curve. I'll show you my belly. Right. Here it is. I love it. Okay. So, but I would still do my chin if I had to. If I had to.
The chin. Well,
yeah.
That's pretty good. So okay. We covered that. We've got so much to go through. In the German version, we went through the first half only of the book. We were planning on getting through the whole thing. So you're hearing things now that nobody.
So there is something so when you were talking about this goth thing and how then goth became a category and you didn't want to belong to it, I very much thought about this one chapter, which is about mimetic desire. So the idea of mimetic desire is that we as humans actually have no idea of what we want, right? We have no clue. And especially now that we have like no moral institutions like telling us what we need to do and have to do, like Christianity and stuff, we're completely lost. So what we do is we just look at someone else who we think has some status, who we think is cool, and we look at what they desire, and then we just want the same thing. And
we're so lazy.
So if, you know, it's like if a lot of people are wearing carrot pants, is that how you say it?
What do you call them in English?
Mom pants. Yeah.
For example. Yeah.
Then first I think it's ugly. And then I see someone cool wearing mom pants and then I want mom pants. Right?
Or you wear them once and you're like, damn, we could feel like this all the time.
Yeah.
And then you never put on like the low hip things ever again.
Well, the low hip things are like, they were like 20 years ago. Anyway, so this is mimetic desire, right? And then there is also a thing called mimetic rivalry, which means that as soon as my idol and I want the same thing, we become rivals. And then there's different ways of dealing with that. Like I could get into competition. Like if my rival on Instagram becomes very thin, then I want to get thinner. And then it just like goes downhill from there. Mm. Or what you can also do is you can put down the rival. So I think what happened to you maybe is maybe you also felt, this is just, I'm putting this out there.
No, let's go.
You felt like rivalry towards the blondes in your school. And then you just said...
I'm just saying blonde because it's such a trope. I'm so sorry. I don't actually think any... I don't have an opinion on blondes.
No, or like the pretty ones, the princesses. Right?
There we go.
And then you put them down and said, I don't want to rival with that. I'm going a completely different path.
Although I'd like to claim that it wasn't quite as aggressive towards them. I just felt like if I just take myself out of the competition, I won't hate them, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did feel like I ended up having more compassion for their lives by not having to compete with them.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a thought. I was just, yeah. But let's collect a little bit. What are things that we have... mimetic desire. Where do you desire something, which is probably just because other people desire it?
I'd love to smoke. I would love to be a smoker.
Okay.
I would absolutely love. I think it looks fantastic. It's such a dumb idea, but it looks so cool. I've known so many people are like, yeah, I should really stop smoking. I'm like, but yeah, do. But okay, fine, whatever. Stop smoking, but don't do it for me. Do it for yourself.
What I have is that I actually, my peers are actually like mid-20, which is kind of embarrassing. Like I want to have like the pants that like stop here and like the sneakers And I'm like, why do I have peers that are so much younger than me? And I would try to dress like them. It's kind of embarrassing.
Where do you know all these young people from?
I don't know. I see them on the street.
Then they're not your... But then they're not actually your peers.
Not peers. Sorry, idols. My idols.
Your idols. There you go. Sorry. Billy Idolish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also would love to dress like a 20-year-old. You know, sometimes you see like old people or older people who dress like 20-year-olds do right now. And I've got two thoughts. My first thought is like trying really hard. The second thought is like, that's me. That's me. Because I think, but it's only now, because 20-year-olds have an amazing sense of style right now. They look like goths. They're great. Like goths who already take loads of drugs at 12.
That's another thing where I have a lot of mimetic desire, I think, is the question about having a second child. Like every time I see someone having a second child, I'm like, oh, I need to have a second child right now. And I'm actually like never sure, like, is that just because I'm seeing other people having it, or is that actually something I want for myself?
It's hard to tell. Like, if you imagine yourself being on a desert island with one child and no one else at all, would you want another child?
How would I get another child?
There'd be a guy. I'm sorry. No, you could take your partner.
Oh, I can take one.
Yeah,
partner.
But it would be just you guys on a desert island.
But that's like so out of context. How does that even apply to my life?
Okay, fine. I'm just trying to help. I would like a larger apartment because everyone I know has a larger apartment. I don't think I need one. I think I'm actually doing fine in my apartment, but everyone I know has such incredibly gorgeous, huge apartments. How do they get them? Do you know this? I mean, people in Zurich, come on. How does one pay for that? Anyway, I feel like, does no one know what I'm talking about?
Everyone knows what you're talking about.
Ah, everyone's just too shy.
They're just not admitting it.
Oh, fall of the patriarchy. Oh no. Don't save it. It's time.
It fell.
Yay.
Yay, let's...
The ice cream fell again, yeah. Like in the first episode. A big amount of mimetic rivalry is... I feel like I've got a problem because I really miss my old, really short hairdo. Ah. So I've got mimetic rivalry with myself at a previous time.
Okay.
But I feel like maybe that time should be over.
So do you want long hair or short hair? Longer hair or shorter hair?
No, I really like short hair, but it feels like all the guys I'm interested in like women with long hair. So I feel like I should have longer hair.
Okay.
Girls, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's really hard.
Yeah,
like,
you know, you know what? I would be really interested in shaving my head. Like, I want to know what that feels like.
I think you could pull that off really well.
I don't think I could pull it off, but I still want to know what it feels like. But also, I feel like that is a boundary in my heterosexual relationship that I cannot cross. You know, it's like...
For fear of what?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I've already pushed the limits of... how much femininity I can take away. And that would like be beyond the limit.
Okay. Have you talked about this or it's just your feeling?
It's just my feeling. So I can't say it's true. It's just a feeling. Like, I mean, similar to you also are doing your hair because of guys.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I don't know if any other feminists in the room know this problem. Hey-o, but when you're dating a new guy, you need to kind of figure out what's their take on body hair. Like, I usually have a very casual moment of, so what's your take on female body hair, you know, while cooking or something? Just like, you know, don't make it a big deal. Just kind of drop it and see how it lands. And if they're not 100% euphoric, I make compromises.
So what, how?
Well, like if the answer is like, yeah, you know, I think everyone should do what they want, then it's just like, okay, now I have to choose leg hair or pit hair. Because I feel like both is then too much.
And do you like... Do you have like, when do you choose leg hair and when do you choose armpit hair?
Well, I kind of alternate and see if I can find a difference. I don't know.
So, okay. So let's do another little game. Like, what did you shave for tonight?
What did I shave for tonight? Very little.
Very little?
Yeah. I think I shaved for something else recently. And that's why I didn't really shave for tonight.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm sitting like this. People in the audience have just seen that Jane probably hasn't shaven the intimate area between her legs.
I wonder
very well.
If they're like so embarrassed right now or if they're still with us.
Well, they don't really have a choice. It's so obvious if you'd get up and leave. But just think, this is like the one time in your life you have to think about this afterwards. You can just take the blue pill or the red one. Who knows the Matrix?
Okay. So that was our talk about hair. Hair can end a relationship.
It can. Isn't that weird? How can hair end a relationship? Like, how much hair would a guy need for the woman to be like, you know, this is too much hair? Like, how long would the beard have to get? Like, how many dreads? Like,
you know what's actually, I have another funny story with that. I, during COVID, and then we'll go to something more consumable.
Less hairy?
During COVID, I let my chin hair grow. Like, hum if you know the problem of chin hair.
Person?
Okay, I'm the only person in the world who has chin hair.
No, it is a thing. I have heard about this.
It's okay. It's very personal. Anyway, I let it grow once. And then I put one photo of it on Instagram. And then about 2 years later, I got like an invitation to do like a talk about female facial hair. But I didn't go.
Did you hashtag female facial hair? How did they find you?
I must have hashtagged something.
Hashtag chin hair. Because if you want to be invited to talk shows, no matter what you post, just hashtag chin hair. Which brings us over to Instagram again. Give me a if you use Instagram kind of for business, like you are promoting yourself or a company or something you're invested in. Okay, give me a hum if you're like private. It's just you privately, your dogs, your food, your holidays.
More private okay, Instagram more, people.
That's good because I'd like to know. Are you stressed? Give me a by Instagram.
No.
Not so stressed, no. Huh? Whoever gets pressured by the feeling of, oh, what am I going to post? How's this going to be for other people?
It's not working.
They're better human beings than I am. Now this is awkward. The
but
audience has
most
good self-confidence.
And then we can wrap it up is that she talks in here about like the difference between the, oh God, what's the German word? The English word, between the das Schöne, the beautiful, and das Erhabene. Like, what's the English word for that?
Majestic.
The majestic, let's call it. So, and there's one theory in there that says like something beautiful is just something positive, right? It's just something that you like, that you can like without thinking about it. And the majestic is something that also includes the negative. Like, it's something that you kind of rub yourself against or that you have to like think about. And the theory is that on Instagram or on these profiles, there was always only the beautiful thing, only the thing where you don't like have to think about or and that's what gives you the quick like. That's
something that evokes zero negative reactions from you, like a nice like hummus. Like a really nice picture of a hummus.
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 I have lots of negative feelings about hummus.
How could I pick the one thing? What's your negative feeling about hummus?
If it has the one thing in it I don't like.
Krütrümmel.
Yeah, that.
Oh, okay, so not hummus. An avocado toast.
Yeah,
something
that's
beautiful. It's fine. Are we going into this one?
I don't know where we're going. Maybe we should ask the audience. Have you had any thoughts so far on all the things we've talked about, which was mostly hair?
On body hair, on aging, Liv Strömquist.
But we can, yeah.
There was your Instagram.
100 years of Instagram? What did we have over there?
Is that a threat?
But I'm not yet 100 years.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. That's okay. So
would anyone like, anyone over 50 like to share their experience of being over 50?
It's getting better. It's getting better and better.
Better and better. What's better about it?
Yeah, I have the same feeling that you're not seen anymore. So you can behave badly.
You can behave badly.
Like freaking out if somebody is not nice to you or if it's cool.
Just say your honest opinion.
Yeah.
Do you have to perform less now?
Maybe
a bit. Okay.
Being more direct.
More direct.
Mm-hmm. Giving less of a shit. Yeah. That's very good. I think we could all do with a bit of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that, I don't know, how long do we still have time? Five. Because we could do the curve to authenticity and like the fake not giving a shit.
Yeah, but let's see if there's any other opinions. Some people need to warm up a little bit sometimes.
We were actually given a bit of shit last time because they're like, don't make these awkward silences so long. And we're like, but it takes a while. But also I get it.
Put in some music to like chill, everyone can chill. We can sing something.
I don't perceive it as awkward though, because we're in a very nice place talking about some very weird stuff. I think this is a great way to spend one's time, also in silence. But please do say something. Maybe.
Yes. Can you have the microphone?
Sorry, we have a microphone.
Well, obviously I'm not over 50, but funny thing is actually in my teenage years, I was so jealous of women over 50 because they had such a powerful aura and they were like just impressive, but what they learned, what they experienced, they just standing there with their character and they had like a, I don't know if you know what I mean, but like a very, some women over 50 had like a very impressive style, like they keep some elements of themselves but on a different level, like it's still they don't necessarily dress like, yeah, typical old woman, but like still like with grace, and I found it very impressive, like, and I was actually very jealous of just having that kind of freedom, because like growing up, on one hand, for example, like my dad would love to cap me, like just wear a plain t-shirt, wear like loose pants or something. Please don't be too feminine. My mother on the other hand said like, you're never be gonna this beautiful again. And my grandma said, yeah, you know, you're like smart and beautiful. That's fucked up. Just in a room where they don't take you seriously, just act if you're stupid. And at one point when you feel like now I can show my brain, like you said before, do it, go for it, like use it as a tool, and just use that kind of perception, which is not that.
Not taken seriously.
Yeah, just use the fact you're not taken seriously and use it for yourself, and then just surprise them.
See if I understood correctly. So your grandma said it's fucked up.
Unterschätzen.
It's fucked up to be smart and beautiful. So just be beautiful and dumb. Like her advice was
She was like, just act if it's like strategically good for you. Like not always, but like when you feel like it could be useful, because otherwise, like, for example, especially men could feel like intimidated, which is not a very nice thing to do. Just, no, it's so not nice. Just act a little stupid and then you can come with some good ideas. But like make the opening a little easier.
I mean, our grandmothers did come from an interesting generation. My grandmother said, like, why would women need to vote? Because I married this guy whose opinion I share and he votes, right? And I was like, yeah, but what if you're not married?
That's so not an option.
It was very much about finding the man. And I don't know if he had her opinion or if she was like using like, oh, I think maybe we should do, like maybe she was acting dumb to get him to vote. Like it makes me think, how did she behave towards him in her youth?
It was also like a different time. Like women did not have the same rights they do now in the 50s.
It was true. They could not vote by themselves.
They couldn't have a bank account. Our mothers didn't have the right to have their own bank accounts.
Crazy.
It's better now. There's still a lot of work to do. It would be nice to just go into a room and be beautiful and smart and it's fine, right?
Yeah. Like we're playing very dumb for you guys right now. We are way smarter than this. We're like, I don't know, this book. Like, we're right. Using this all.
Anything else you wanted like to share? All right, then I'd say that's a wrap. What do you think?
I think I'd like to ask one question.
Okay.
To any man or male red person who feels comfortable answering. there's a part in this book which I didn't agree with. And it's a theorist called Camille Paglia. She writes over women who get sad by seeing a more beautiful woman. She says, what a ridiculous attitude to take. When men watch sports, when they watch football, they never say, boo-hoo, I'll never be that fast or strong, sniff. And when people look at Michelangelo's David, do they afterwards commit suicide? No. Do you know what I mean? When you see a strong person, a fast person, you have to say, wow, that's fantastic. When you see a beautiful person, you should say, how beautiful. You should say, what beautiful man, what a beautiful woman, what amazing boobs. And the thing I'm interested in is her claiming that men have less mimetic rivalry. So men, if you watch football, do you literally never feel like, oh, fuck, he's a lot faster and stronger than me or could be a problem in my life?
It's like the comparison is with like women feeling bad about themselves because they see other women who are more beautiful or like more thin or something like that. And the theory is that men don't feel bad about themselves. They just have joy.
And they're just like, yeah, dude. Like, is that really? Do you never get like insecure by looking at other guys?
Of course.
Thank you, one guy.
Can we get one guy the microphone?
Okay. Speaking of beauty, then I'm definitely getting jealous of other guys.
Okay. Like when you see them, you're like, oh, he's much more beautiful than I am.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah? And is it connected to any kind of body attributes, like muscles or...
Yes.
Like, yeah?
Okay. Muscles is a good hair? Example.
Hair, yeah. Hair?
Hair, I don't know. In my case, muscles.
Okay, so does one talk about that in the guy groups, in the cis male groups?
We don't talk that much in general. No. It's yeah, it's a good point, no?
Yeah.
Okay. No, not really, actually.
So she's wrong. Camille Paglia is wrong.
No, but you don't have this like, I don't know how to say this, like this general eye watching at you that is kind of a higher power than you're part of. So that's a big difference.
Okay, so it's more like a private suffering,
yeah,
which you can still avoid by doing well in other areas.
Yeah, possibly. I'm not watching any Johnny Depp movies.
So you don't feel constantly watched and judged at all times?
I do, but it must be way less than
it must be.
It must be less.
It must be less. Okay, that's very nice of you to assume. But the patriarchy does harm everybody.
So we must all fight it together.
We must all fight it together. But I'm happy to hear that mimetic rivalry and jealousy can be just a general human thing and not necessarily...
I think, yeah, that would be my guess too. You know,
we just also have the structural pressure of... love. I don't even want to compare it. Thank you for sharing.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing.
All right. Thank you so much. That was the third episode of Feminism by the Pool. It will be online. You can rewatch it on YouTube or you can re-listen to it on Spotify.
Or you can follow us, 9Volt Nelly, on Instagram. If you have Instagram, sorry for talking about Instagram again. I was just dissing it. Now I'm like, yeah, come to Instagram. Don't. Delete it. Hack our accounts. Make it go away. We'll also be having a midnight round at midnight. Probably a bit drunk about all the topics that we didn't get to in these last two episodes.
Or like about all the feelings we had of sitting here in a bikini that we didn't share with you because we wanted to
keep it about the book.
Yeah, and we also, you know, wanted to tell you that we look like we're very confident, or maybe actually we're not. All that will happen in the rant at midnight.
Who knows?
Okay. All right, thank
Come
you so
find
much.
Out.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll be right back.